This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening.
Hi, everybody.
Steve, did it ever occur to you that when the door is closed, we're trying to keep unwanted people out?
Well, I'd better lock it then.
There he is, harmless, sexless Urkel from Family Matters, a television character that seemed to embody everything awkward, everything repugnant, the kid you teased, that you shunned. Harmless, laughable, nerdy Urkel. That guy will never get a date, right? Well, reexamining those assumptions about young men shunned, sexual underdogs, nerdy adolescents fighting for female attention has been the conversation this week following the shooting in Santa Barbara. Elliot Rodgers' rampage and rage against women has become a parable of gender culture in America. Those events motivated freelance writer and Jeopardy champion Arthur Chu to take a long, honest look at himself and his attitudes about women in an essay for the Daily Beast. It references, among other things, another seemingly harmless icon of nerd culture, Mario Brothers. The title of Arthur Chu's piece is "Your Princess is in Another Castle."
For a long time, I feel like people in like so-called nerd culture, people who identified with, you know, this subculture of being the underdog, we all knew there were these problems going on. We were all aware of it. In high school and college, I knew that there were a lot of people I knew who had negative attitudes about women and treated women badly. But you didn't talk about it because you wanted to present a sort of unified front. It's like we've all been picked on, we've all been bullied, and we've got to stick together. But Roger is kind of an indictment, just like this is the rock bottom. This is where this kind of thing goes, the sense of entitlement, the sense of like male victimhood, that men deserve something from women and have this righteous anger if they don't get it. You know, it eventually leads to a total atrocity like this. And people have to speak out and just say, look, it's not acceptable. The attitude that underlies this is not acceptable. Mental illness or no mental illness, you know, this mass shootings don't happen every day, but this kind of resentment and hatred of women based on this feeling of entitlement, it does happen every day, and we need to speak up about it.
Well, let's step back for a second, because I think everyone can absolutely agree with you that, you know, taking matters into your own hands violently is unacceptable. But it's this sort of subtle element of entitlement that creeps into popular culture that I think is the basis of your piece's power here. And let's listen to something from Revenge of the Nerds, which you actually referred to in the story.
We're allowed to have girls in our dorm room?
Not girls, Gil. Women. We're college men now.
Isn't college great?
It's going to be a great year.
Ha 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 ha. But not today.
Well, I've been accused by some critics after this piece went viral of picking on awkward guys or trying to make guys ashamed of being attracted to girls. And that's sort of that particular clip, that's sort of the uncomfortable, you know, subtext there. And I don't think anybody doesn't deserve to find love or find happiness because they're awkward or because they have a tough time talking to people. But when guys get defensive, like super defensive about being called creepy or being called inappropriate, you know, and we sort of demand, we make this demand, like, and I really feel like the pendulum has swung to the point where it feels like our society is more on the side of awkward guys and is saying, like, awkward guys, you deserve a chance, that a woman who, you know, judges you or doesn't want to be with you is being a jerk, is being unfair, that we're putting an onus on women. This is the whole conversation that, you know, they had about, and Seth Rogen and Judd Apatow got dragged into this, and I don't want to, you know, there's a film critic who brought up Seth Rogen's film Neighbors. And I'm not saying those films are bad films, and I'm certainly not blaming them for any act of violence or abuse, but that we have this trope now of like a loser guy, a lovable loser guy, an unattractive guy, but his inner humanity shines through and a beautiful woman accepts him and falls for him. But it's always from the male perspective. That,
all right. Well, let's think about that for a second, because, you know, you could make an argument, and some have, that programs, content, movies that celebrate the loser guy is kind of an outlet, that if we think of him as a hero in some playful way, he's less likely to be in his room, you know, writing manifestos. Listen to this little scene from The Big Bang Theory.
Howard, why don't we just work on the robot?
Oh, please, Leonard, not now. Once again, Penny and I have begun our little tango. our tango?
The carnal repartee, the erotic to and fro.
What do you think about that?
We have a lot of problems with men and women relating to each other. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing that we have these stereotypes, like if he's needling you, if he's screwing with you, if he's pulling your pigtails, he's really into you. You know, yeah, I know we all have trouble expressing our feelings, but a lot of women who have this like laid on them, like, hey, antagonism and hostility from guys is okay because you should be flattered, because it means that you're desirable and you should want to be desired by guys, that really can mess with your head. I mean, ultimately, I'm not saying that guys shouldn't tell these stories about their own experience, but we do have a huge bias in our culture for telling these stories from the guy's perspective and not like, how does it feel to be the one pursued with this kind of like, you know, needy grasping entitlement, or to be the one who's like getting negative attention because it's displaced attraction? You know, how does it feel to have to deal with that and you're just trying to live your life?
Well, check this out.
If that makes any sense.
Oh, it does. And there's actually a great little scene that we found in The Big Bang Theory that purports anyway to deliver this women's perspective here. Listen.
It is not sexy to stare at my ass and say, ooh, it must be jelly because jam don't shake like that. And most important, we are not dancing a tango. We're not to-ing and fro-ing. Nothing is ever going to happen between us, ever.
Wait a minute. This isn't flirting. You're serious.
Flirting? You think I'm flirting with you? I am not flirting with you. No woman is ever going to flirt with you. You're just going to grow old and die alone.
You know, that last line is so terrifying in light of what's happened in the last week. And it's almost as though the scriptwriters take the stereotype and reverse it. No woman would ever actually say that to a guy. But that is sort of this cliche that, if you're a nerd, then you are going to live in some prison of your own antisocial like isolation.
That scene is kind of, I see it as a kind of catharsis. And so this is the problem with having this conversation is no, I don't think it's okay to like grab a guy by the collar and yell at him, you're going to die alone. You deserve to die alone. But it's not any woman's job to make sure that you don't die alone. It's not any woman's obligation to give you a chance. And we really do put a lot of pressure on women to say, like, you have to, you should, you know, you should give a guy a fair hearing. You should give a guy an opportunity, that you are being, you know, pardon the language, you're being a bitch if you reject a guy outright, you know, that women sort of have a responsibility to let passes be made at them. And you know, it reaches a point where there are women who feel stalked and harassed in a community of nerdy people. Like, I've been around a lot of socially awkward, you know, intellectual girls, gifted girls, who when they end up in a situation where guys feel like, this is my chance, this is a girl who, you know, should be with me, this is my chance to, like, get all the things that I've always wanted, you know, it's like blood in a shark tank. And to feel, like, that kind of pressure to like, constantly feel like everyone wants something from you. That was the perspective that a lot of women were sharing on Yes, All Women. That's a lot of the perspective that I've heard from a lot of women, from, you know, my wife, my sister, women in my life. And I think once you see that point of view, like, that at some point every woman who's been through that wants to say, look, I don't care about you. It's not my problem if you grow old and die alone. I am not responsible to feel bad about your loneliness because I have my own life that I'm living. You know, that's the catharsis that comes out when she says that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about Revenge of the Nerds. Like, there was a point in time when this sense of entitlement was so strong that it was okay to show fantasies. I said that in my article, Revenge of the Nerds, it culminates in a rape scene. It is a rape scene that Lewis, through deception, has sex with his rival's girlfriend, and she falls in love with him because he does it so well. That's a nerdy twist on what, if you like change the context, would very clearly be, you know, a very ugly scene of, you know, I raped her and she likes it, of conquering a woman through force. The fact that it's through intellectual trickery and deception rather than force, that it's a nerd narrative, so to speak, rather than a jock narrative, doesn't change the fact that this is a fantasy about, you know, possessing women, a fantasy about not having to deal with the fear that a woman might make the choice to tell you, I don't care. I don't care if you die alone. But
well, that's the key, because the freakiest thing of all about this conversation is that we both know we would not be having it except for the existence of firearms. That if you know, this guy had done nothing in Santa Barbara, if there were no guns in the picture, this would all be part of this kind of hidden sexual tension, adolescent, you know, weirdness that constitutes sexual culture in America. But because somebody pulls the trigger and people die, we're suddenly having a conversation. That's not an endorsement of guns, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The fact that we have to wait until someone is mentally ill enough and screwed up enough to do something this big and destructive and self-destructive. And there's a lot of guys who are really, really misogynist and are not crazy enough to destroy their lives over it. But so they find ways to hurt women that they can get away with, and it happens every day. And it's only when an Elliot Rodger comes along that and literally leaves this huge manifesto about it that people say, hey, maybe this misogyny thing is a real problem in our society. Maybe this is actually an issue. That's why we need to be having this conversation. And people talk about politicizing this tragedy, you know, and I'm saying I think that the only valid reason for those of us who are not personally affected to hear about this in the news and talk about it is to try to prevent things from happening in the future, is to try to make the world better for women, is to try to look at this sickness, the societal sickness that partially led to this tragedy, and do something about it. And if we don't, in that sense, politicize it, then we shouldn't be talking about it at all.
You know? Well, I suspect this week you may have gotten some indication that you're, you know, on the short list to be, you know, sensitive male of the year.
I mean, well, the thing that I would say is that sensitive guy of the year or whatever, I have my own skeletons in my closet. I said in my piece, like, I feel the reason I need to talk about this is because I've been through it. I would like to think never in a million years would I end up in the same place that Elliot Rodger did, but I've felt resentment of women. I've treated women badly in the past. You know, I can admit that. I need to admit that. And I think the important thing is for men who are struggling with this kind of thing, who've been through this, to stand up and take responsibility, one, and to tell other guys, look, this worldview is twisted. This worldview is hurting you as much as it's hurting people around you. I hope more guys can come out and say that, because guys need to have this conversation with each other. It can't just be women, you know, demanding for men to listen for a second and men just moving on with their lives.
Arthur Chu, thanks so much.
Thank you.